Everyone be seated. We are going to keep the kids in with us today. He's giving me that look. I'm stuck here. We are going to keep them with us a little bit different this morning. We're actually not going to be that long, then we're going to get into prayer together. But I do want to point us towards the Lord and His goodness and His faithfulness this morning. I want to start with a loaded question. How many of you deal with anxiety or fear? Thank you. How many of you that didn't raise your hand had anxiety and fear about raising your hand? Right? Yes, there we go. And I want to be honest right up front this morning so that I'm not a hypocrite. It's something I've dealt with my whole life, worrying about things that God always takes care of. And not that I worry about the church and the fight. I worry more about you than anything else, and learning to trust that to the Lord more and more. But because of that in my life and my heart, one of the first scriptures that I ever memorized that I put in my heart was Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but instead, with prayer and supplication, let that request be made known to God. Instead of worrying about it, tell Him about it. And then there's a promise out of that, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that'll guard my heart. It'll guard your heart through Christ Jesus, it says. That's a promise right out of Scripture. And so as we walk through a time, we're watching our world full of anxiety and full of fear. And I want you to know this morning. And this isn't a motivational speech. This isn't just encouragement. Come on, you guys can do it. You do not have to have that fear. Me and you do not have to walk out of that here with that fear today, or to walk in it anymore from this point forward. And can I tell you, I am not afraid of this. I'm not having anxiety, not because I don't know, not because I don't understand, not because my head's in the sand and don't realize this could be a real thing, not because of what I don't know. It's because of who I do know. And He knows my name, and He knows your name, and He knows what's going on. And can I tell you, big picture, God is still in control. God is in control of all of this. Tom said something during worship that caught us by surprise, but God's been through this before. He knows what He's doing, and He's in complete control. And Jesus talks about this, about fear and anxiety. In fact, the Bible talks about it a lot. But in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 12, and I was just thinking how wonderful it is that Jesus, He actually talks about the issues that we're dealing with today, and does so often. The number one command in the Bible, you probably know this being around here, we've talked about it before. Do you know what it is? Do not fear. Don't be afraid. And God, for a few thousand years, has been dealing with the human heart, with His people. And that's why I believe why He has to say it so often. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm your God. I'm in control. And Jesus, who is our wonderful counselor, He's talking about these things. We're going to look at Luke chapter 12. I just really want to touch on two things out of a big passage where Jesus talks, but two really important things for us today. And there are many areas that we can worry about. Jesus picks out, I think, the two big ones. And if you're in Luke chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 22. And the first thing Jesus says is, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Here's what it says. And He said to His disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And then He goes on, what you'll eat, or what about your body, or what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. And I think as we look at that, it's important first to look at what Jesus isn't saying. He's not just talking about putting our head in the sand and acting like nothing's wrong and there's no concerns, okay? It's not a problem-free society, no matter what Pumbaa says. We have things all around. There are lots of things in our culture that we can be concerned about that can overcome us, from political things and corruption and election, to the divisiveness that we're walking through as a nation, to shootings, to terrorism, to cancer, to disease, to viruses. There are all kinds of things, and they are real. And I want to say this again, because when we talk about our faith and about sharing hope with the world that's in a place of fear, often I think the response back, or the response that we can feel, is, well, we just don't get it. We don't understand what's going on. Can I tell you? We get it. We get it more than anybody else. This is a sin-filled, broken world where there are all kinds of things that point over and over and over to our mortality. This isn't going to last. None of us is going to make it out alive in the end. Did you know that? Okay, they're saying so many could die from, 100% eventually will die from living, from being alive. And so Jesus here isn't talking about us being ignorant of the things that are going on around us. He didn't say, don't recognize them. He just says, don't worry. Don't let these things trouble your heart. And so we recognize the brokenness of his world, but as citizens of his kingdom, we do so free of that grip of worry and anxiety and fear that unbelievers, that those that don't know him might have. And there are real examples throughout church history. I'm not going to go through it, but there's been other plagues. There have been other greatly difficult and overwhelmingly tragic things that the world has walked through. And here's the one thing in the middle of all of them. God's people were there. God's, when the world runs out of hope and the world runs in fear, church, that's when we're supposed to run in. That's when we're supposed to be there to share a hope with them, to share why they should look at us and say, what is wrong with you? How come you're not afraid? Well, let me tell you why. It's because I know the king. There's another king and there's another kingdom. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. And that's what Jesus is pointing to here. And so Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life. And that's a pretty big category, right? What's he talking about? My finances, my health, they includes a whole bunch of things. But the word life there, I love this. It literally means life span or length of life. I believe Jesus is saying, don't worry about the length of your life. You have no control over it anyway. Instead, trust me, serve me, love me as you serve and love other people. Don't worry about your life. I love you. I'll take care of you. It says he knows the number of days that each and every one of us has. And we can trust him with that. You know what? I believe this. Well, I am not going one day before the day that he had planned for me to go home to heaven. And I'm not staying one day longer than the day he had planned for me to go to heaven. It won't change. My life is in his hands. And that's why he says here, don't worry about your life, is the big picture. Don't worry about your mortality. And what happens when we walk through what we're walking through right now? What is it people are afraid of? Mortality, right? I could die. I could get this. I could, all of these kinds of things where the fear comes from. We worry about something that's not in our control, right? It's in his control and it's in his hands. And that's the promise he gives us. And Jesus then, in this passage, he uses an illustration of a raven. I think it's interesting. We just looked at a raven back in Genesis. But he says in verse 24, consider the raven. They neither sow nor reap, neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? He says, hey, as you're worrying about all this stuff and your heart's filling up with anxiety, take a look at the raven. He's a dirty bird scavenger, right? How much more valuable are you to God than the birds? Birds don't worry. Birds don't plant seeds. Birds don't harvest. Birds don't go buy out the store of toilet paper. They're just not worried about those kind of things. Am I right? They know. And yet, God does what? Feeds them. God takes care of them. They don't have the promises of God that we have. They aren't created in the image of God like you and I were. And yet, every morning, like clockwork, there's food there for them, that he takes care of them. I'm going to ask what Jesus asked here. Aren't you more valuable than that bird? Do you believe that you're more valuable than that bird to God? Because you are. He values you and loves you. You think, are you kidding me? He's contrasting me with a dirty raven. Yes, he loves me. And so he says, don't worry about your life. I believe that's number one. And I've only got one more. And he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your life. And don't worry about tomorrow. Where am I going to get toilet paper? Where am I going to get my bacon? Where am I? Don't worry about tomorrow. Verse 25, and which of you, by being anxious, can add one single hour to his span of life? Here's that picture again, to your lifespan. And please hear this. Jesus' commands to us not to worry and not to have fear are, they're all in the context of fearful things, trouble, tribulation, brokenness, all of the sin-infested and affected things of this world. He says, right, not I'm going to take you out of that and you're not going to go through any of that. No, I'm going to give you peace right in the middle of that. He calls us to stay and to remain and be there, to be his hands and feet and to represent his kingdom in the middle of all of this trouble and all of this tribulation. And so he knows that we live in a world that's full of, he uses the word tribulation, that it's going to come. And he knows that there are things that can really cause anxiety. None of us are exempt from the difficulties of life. None of us are exempt from a virus. Amen? I don't care, whatever. I need to trust him. And so it's not an issue of will we face troubles or difficulties. It's what will we do in the middle of those times, in the middle of those difficulties. And Jesus says, I'll tell you what you should do. Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. Don't let your heart be troubled. And here's our, well, okay, I'll quit being anxious as soon as this goes away. Right? Well, as soon as I don't have any problems, then I'll have... No, that's not it at all. In this world, here's your encouragement for today. In this world, you are going to have tribulation. Yes! Isn't that good? Those are Jesus' words, by the way. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's our Lord. That's our God. And when he says he's overcome it, that he's in control, that he's in charge, he's talking about what we're walking through this week, today, tomorrow, and what's ahead of us. He is in control of all of it. And so he says, don't be anxious, but in the middle of the storm, in the middle of all of this stuff, trust in me. Lean on me. When we worry, and specifically worrying about tomorrow, like Jesus is saying, don't worry about tomorrow. It's got its own problems. Trust me today. It really puts on display a lack of trust in God when we do that. That's not the picture that we want to put out. It's something that's out of our control. And we think, oh, okay, what am I going to do? And it means I'm not trusting in the sovereignty and the goodness of my God. And I want to talk about sovereignty. The Lord put this on my heart. About sovereignty this morning. What's the sovereignty of God? Well, it's the very heart and foundation of what his people have leaned their lives on for thousands of years. It's the belief and the understanding that God is in complete control, that he is God over all nations and all tribes and all tongues and all people and all times and all troubles, that he is the one that we can count on. In fact, you can build your life on this. God is in control. He is a sovereign God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's in control of what's going on in our country right now? What he's going on at your job, what's going on here at church? He is in control of all of this. And I believe God may be using part of this to make that real to us again. To remember, wait a minute. My God is sovereign. He is in control of all of this. And he loves me and he knows my name. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Listen to this with your heart. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is in control of all things. That's a prayer from the heart of God's people. That's how we view him. That's what the Bible calls God's sovereignty, that he is the absolute authority in life. He's the ultimate ruler over all, and he's in charge and he's in control. He is the King of Kings over all other kings and all other kingdoms. I've got too many scriptures this morning. But one more that David says it this way in Psalm 147, verse 4 and 5. Speaking of our God, he counts the stars and he calls them by name. How great is our Lord! His power is absolute and his understanding is beyond comprehension. Okay? That's our God. That's the God that we serve, the God that loves us. So he knows what we're going to face tomorrow. He knows what you're going to face next week, he knows what you're going to face next year. And he's in control. That's who God is. And times like this, when worldwide panic force us to, let me rephrase that. When we see the world in complete panic and complete chaos and this fear and truly a troubled heart, it forces us to align our professed belief with our real belief. Does that make sense? I think every one of us would say, I trust in God. He's sovereign over all. We would speak those words. It's times like this that come and he checks our heart. And he says, do your words match your actions? Does your faith that you profess match the faith that you live out in the middle of the storm? And church, I believe this is our time that God is calling us to live out our faith in the middle of the storm. Not to huddle together and hide. And I'm not talking about being unwise or anything like that, but that we, again, we go out into a broken world when they're falling apart, when all hope is lost, when they're riddled with fear. There is only one that brings peace. He's the Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus. And if we all huddle together and we hide from this, they're never going to hear about Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. And so in the middle of this, he's opening up the doors of great opportunity. Number one, for us to make sure that we may need to make a shift from our professed faith to God, I believe in you. I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand on faith in you, on your sovereignty, that you're in control. Lord, I'm going to live that faith out of my life and not just talk about it. So he says, don't worry about your life and don't worry about tomorrow. Instead, here's Jesus' big picture of all of this. Instead, trust your Father. There's only one way to walk through this, church. If you're not going to fear for your life and you're not going to fear about tomorrow, there's one way, and it's putting trust in the Father. Verse 29, Jesus says, so do not seek what you need to eat or what you need to drink, nor be worried, for all of the nations of the world seek after these things. Is that not just like out of the headlines? All of the nations of the world, they're worrying about this thing. But you, what does it say to us? But you, your Father, he knows what you need. He knows what you need. So instead, seek his kingdom and all these other things, they'll be taken care of. Father's going to take care of you. He's a good father. He's a loving father. He wants you to call him Father and to trust him as Father, the perfect Father. And he'll take care of all of these other things. You serve and love people. That's the heart of all of this. Jesus lays out God's sovereignty, his power, his might, his all-encompassing, I don't even have the right words for it. He is in control of everything. And then he says, by the way, he's your Father. The Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords who speaks and creation comes into being is your Father and loves you and knows you. Where would fear come from if we believe that? It's gone in the presence of our Father. And if I can paraphrase Jesus, he says, Father conquers fear. Knowing your Father, knowing who he is. We hear a lot, I heard it this week, more faith. Faith conquers fear. No, it doesn't. Faith in your Father conquers fear. Not just faith. You need to know what that faith is in and why that faith is there. Our faith is in our Creator God who loves us and is in control of all things. And you just need to know the Father. Here, my Father's a king and he has a kingdom. And that kingdom never ends. My Father is all powerful. He rules over all kings and kingdoms. He rules over all cultures and nations. He rules over all viruses and diseases and sicknesses. My Father's in control. My Father's faithful. He never changes. And he is good and gracious. And he provides. That's our Father. We're his kids. You got to know the Father. That's what Jesus says. And here's the context. People, the world, unbelievers. They're seeking their life and the things of this world. So when something hits that security, something turns that upside down, like this virus we're walking through, their whole world is shaken to the core. They don't know what to do or where to turn. But you and me, we trust him. We trust him. And we focus on kingdom stuff. I believe that's what Jesus is saying there. He knows all of our needs. He knows how to take care of you. Don't worry about yourself. Pour yourself out to others. Trust in the Father. Again, knowing him. We're going to close by praying, but I want to share one more thought with you. I was praying last night, and I was like, I didn't really know where to go. I was working on a sermon out of Genesis, and then all of this going on. It's like, Lord, what do you want us to do? And can I be real honest with you? I don't always have all the answers. You're like, yeah, we knew that. We've known you for quite some time. But I remember praying to the Lord. It's like, what direction? What's your heart? What's going on? And finally I said, Lord, just give me two words. Give me two words. Because when he first called us into ministry, Kim and I, the Lord did it through three words. He said, here's what I want you to do. Love, exhort, and mature. He takes the simple-minded and the simple-hearted, and he speaks to us simply. So I asked, Lord, just give me two words. And I felt like here's what he spoke to my heart as soon as I said that. Die living. Die living. And I don't believe that's just for me. I don't believe that was a word for the pastoral staff. I believe that was a word for the church, the body of Christ. It was a word for us. You're going to die anyway. Don't worry about the length of your life. Don't give a troubled heart about that. Die serving and loving and sacrificing and laying down your life for a world that desperately needs to see hope and Jesus in the middle of fear and hopelessness. That's our call. That's what we're called to do, to be about kingdom business. Hey, world, there's another king. There's another kingdom. And he's here, and he's for you. Let me introduce you to him. Again, not a time for us to huddle, but a time for us to be there and be available. And I want to share just some practical ideas like that the Lord's put on my heart. Kind of, we're going to work this out this next week and see how all of this works out. But I do want to share it with you, kind of some direction that I think the Lord is giving us here. When the world runs out of hope, here's your line for this morning. When the world runs out of hope, the church runs in. And we need to remember that. And I was looking at ways for us to run in. Lord, how can we serve our community? How can we love and pray for the sick and bring hope to the hopeless? Praying for the sick, by the way, that's one of the commands that we're to do. Not run away from them, pray for them. And so I thought for you, I'm going to talk about us corporately here in a minute, but for you individually, you know what? When the economy's crashing and there's panic and people are running to the store and then people are afraid to run to the store, opportunities to surprise your neighbors with a confidence and a joy. Why aren't you freaked out? How come you're not buying toilet paper, right? It gives us an opportunity to share with them. Not time to huddle, but a time to be outside more, to be loving more, to be hospitable more, serving and loving more. A great time to share Jesus. And then for us as a congregation, like I said, these aren't, I've talked to three people about this, two pastors and one other person, but the Manna Cafe, I talked to Norm, and he was actually excited when I mentioned it, but that we can do a slight adjustment to Manna where we will not only serve on Saturday, but we'll allow people to call in if they'd like a pickup order, or that we might be able to deliver to them. That we might be able to, those that are isolated, those that are even in fear, that maybe we might get an open door by bringing them a meal and getting a chance to pray with them and love on them and let them know that there is someone that cares about them. And so that's, we're going to look at how to do that. That would mean we could really use some delivery drivers that would be willing to go out and just bring some food in the name of Jesus and maybe get a chance to pray for somebody. Wednesday lunch, Brandon and Casey have done it for the high school forever. Now we've got all of school out of school, and some of the kids that, I guess they can still get food through the school, but we want to make an offering to our community that on Wednesdays, instead of high school lunch, we've got lunch for the kids. If you're hungry, come down and we'll serve lunch. We'll have sack lunches if people are worried about being around people. We can give those to them. But again, get a chance to love them and to reach out to them. Not shut down, but step up and begin to serve and to love. And I'm going to die living. And I hope you will too. And so with that, We're going to pray this morning. Nationally, it's been called for another day of prayer. And honestly, the church, we shouldn't need a call from the government to tell us to pray, but we'll take it and we're going to run with it. And so I'm going to do this a little different. We're going to pray for our church, for our city. Don't forget about our city. We always go national, but God's given us an opportunity right here. We're going to pray for our city and beyond that. We want to pray for those that are sick. We have numerous in our congregation that contacted me this week and said, hey, we're not feeling well. It's just a cold, but we don't want to put that on anybody else. And so they're not here. We've got others that are extremely high risk that call and said, hey, my doctor said I need to stay away because I have this heart issue or I have whatever. That's just wisdom and that's great. We want to pray for them also and pray that God would open our hearts to see and to hear his voice in the middle of this. If there's other directions, there's other opportunities for us to run in while the world's running away. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I want to do this a couple ways. Number one, I just want to pray together. Some of you are going to be uncomfortable with this. We've never done this. I'm going to start, and then we're just going to have some time where if you've got something on your heart, to just speak out from where you're at and pray about that. And we're going to lift those prayers to the Lord. And then we'll move kind of from that time to a time if you're sick. We want to lay hands on you and we want to pray for you. We don't want to lock you up in the back closet. If you are dealing with fear and you're hearing this morning, you're thinking, I don't want to walk in this fear anymore. I want to pray with you. I want to come together and we'll pray. So we'll do that as we'll have Tom lead us in some worship during that last point. But right now we're just going to pray. I'll start and then as God puts something on your heart, lift your voice. Father God, we recognize right now together, Lord, your sovereignty, that you are in control, King of kings and Lord of lords. And from that position, Lord, you opened up a door and you invite us to come right to your throne room. Lord, it says in time of need, in our lowest point, we can come right to you. And so we come to you as a church right now, Lord. And I pray for our congregation. I pray, Father, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would begin to do something in our hearts, that, Lord, I don't know how else to put this, this virus would not be wasted, but it would, Lord, embolden us, trust us to stand on you, to lean on you even more, and to be your hands and the feet in the middle of this time. And Lord, we just lift that to you. We pray for your direction. We pray for your protection. We pray that your hand would be on us as we serve and we love you. And I pray for those that, Lord, are dealing with fear in their heart. I pray that would be replaced with a Father who loves them. Lord, that you'd pour out your Spirit right now even to remove that fear. And Lord, for those that are sick and not feeling well, Lord, as I think about it, they may not be feeling well and fear creeps in along with that. Could this be more than a cold? Could this be? Lord, I pray for them. I pray first for peace. And I pray for healing. I pray for God's people, the church, Lord, as a whole, that we remember that you are also the God that heals, the God that didn't walk away from lepers, but went right to them. Lord, let us not be afraid to walk right to them. Let us know that you're still the God that heals. You're still the God that heals the sick